because I want him to remember how he loved her and know how lucky she was to have him. That it wasn't his fault. That my parents weren't his fault. He slides in and out of me, grunting as I tip my head back and letting his mouth trail down my neck as I thread my fingers through his hair once again. I love you, he murmurs, but Tiernan uses her nails, and I like that more. Butterflies rush through my stomach, and I tip my forehead to his, immediately curling my claws and dragging them lightly down the back of his head. Open your eyes, baby, he tells me. I do, seeing him looking straight at me as the steam billows around us. I could never pretend you weren't you, he says. I don't want to. I hold his eyes, our bodies moving faster as his fingers dig into my ass. You remind me so much of her, he whispers, not breaking his rhythm. I'm remembering things I haven't thought about in a long time. The tip of his dick hits my spot and I throw my head back and arch my back, moaning. How possessive I was with her. He grabs my face and brings me in, kissing me. I'd forgotten about that. How we fought a lot about the dumbest stuff. How thoughtless and impatient I was. We fight about the dumbest stuff too, but I don't tell him that. If he hadn't fought me, I wouldn't be any different now. He holds me, and I hold him, breathing hard against each other's lips. How overpowering the sex was, he goes on, because our emotions were so much bigger than we were, and we lost control, and how we were young and fucked away every problem. I don't want that anymore. What do you want? I ask. He opens his mouth to speak, but nothing comes out, and then he lowers his voice. Barely a whisper. I want you to like this. I do, but before I have a chance to respond, he drops me to my feet, twists me around, and pins me to the wall. I gasp as he spreads my legs and thrusts inside of me again, pushing my body up on my tiptoes as he holds my thigh wide with one hand. With the other, he reaches around and slips his hand inside my panties. I want you happy, Tiernan, he says, low and husky in my ear. I want my sons happy. He fucks me up against the wall, thrusting faster and faster as I turn my head to meet his lips. And I want you to know that no matter where you go, he tells me between kisses, you'll always be ours. We're your home. I know, I whimper. Forehead to forehead, we hold each other's eyes. And I want you at my table in the morning and in my bed at night. I rock into the tiled wall, my breasts crushing against its surface, but I don't care. I look over my shoulder, loving to watch him do this to me. Turns out that fucking prick did something right. He pulls me back against him, kissing me deep and pinching my nipple. He gave you to us, our little princess. Ours, all ours. And that does it. The little sting of pain and his possessive words, and I'm backing up into him, hungry to come. He grabs my hips, helping me as we both moan and cry out, my pussy clenching around him. We'll wake them up, I gasp out, but neither of us can stop. My orgasm crests, and I rub my clit as he hits deep. Oh God, don't stop, I beg. Don't stop. Fuck, he growls. Fuck. He pounds harder and harder, and I slam my hands into the wall, crying out one more time as my entire body comes apart, a burst of tingles exploding under my skin. I breathe hard. Whimpering as he falls into me, still squeezing my thighs in his hands. Fuck, he whispers, out of breath. We should. His chest rises and falls against my back. We should probably use condoms, I think. Even if you are on the pill, this is too much to risk it. I nod, too tired to argue. He's probably right. 5 times in 12 hours won't be a daily thing, I'm sure, but the more it happens, the bigger the chance. He lifts up. Even if this is the hottest thing I've ever seen, he adds as he rubs his thumb across my inner thigh. I blush, feeling him seep out of me. I don't know what it looks like, but I like how it feels. I peel off my clothes, wring them out, and rinse myself off, both of us climbing out of the shower and drying off. I go into his room and pull out a pair of his blue boxer shorts, rolling them up a few times to make them fit, and one of his t-shirts. I need something dry to wear between here and my room. I take my wet clothes and give him a peck on the cheek. He pauses in the middle of pulling on a shirt. What are you doing? Going back to bed, I reply, while I still have my legs under me. He cocks an eyebrow, but I see the smile he tries to bite back. Seriously, though, I need actual sleep. And space. Too much, too fast makes me a little afraid. I like what I found here. I don't want to lose myself again. See you tomorrow night, I whisper as I come in and kiss him again, this time on the lips. Tomorrow night, he replies. I turn to leave, but then I stop and ask, do I have to still be up for morning chores? He narrows his eyes in confusion. I mean, since mine go later at night now? His eyes go round and he bares his teeth, whipping out his hand and smacking me on the ass. I laugh and rush out the door, closing it behind me. But not before I catch his smile as he shakes his head. I like his smile. We so rarely get to see it. I blow out a breath and make my way to my room. But a scent suddenly hits me and I stop, looking to my right. There, in the narrow, dark stairwell leading up to the third floor, an orange ember burns bright and a cloud of smoke drifts out from the black. My smile falls. Caleb. I glance at Jake's door, gauging his bedroom is well within earshot of the stairwell. How long has Caleb been sitting there? He moves, the floorboards creaking as he stands up, and I straighten as he emerges from the darkness, staring at me as he takes another drag and then drops the butt to the floor, stepping on it with his bare foot. My stomach coils and I shoot my eyes up to meet his again. What? I ask, but of course he remains silent. He walks toward me and I move, backing up to my room, but he shoots out his hand and blocks me. I hit the wall, dropping my wet clothes as he comes in close, bearing down. Shit. So what is he thinking? We'll go out to the shop and finish what he started weeks ago? I'll be easy now? His warm body and bare chest hover close, and I turn my face away, almost shivering at his hot breath on my cheek. Bending down, he picks up my red panties that are still damp from the shower and stands back up, rubbing the material between his fingers as he stares at them. A moment of guilt hits me, but I don't know why. I grab for the underwear, but he yanks them away, and my stomach hardens like a wall of bricks. I slap him. He jerks a little, but doesn't falter. I grab for the panties again, but the fabric tears as he pulls his arm away. He balls my underwear in his hand, his eyes angry and on fire as he slams the fist into the wall by my head. I suck in a breath, cowering on reflex. What did I do? Like he actually cares. Everything I felt a moment ago with Jake is gone. I straighten, ready to shove his son off me, but before I have a chance, Caleb grabs me. Taking me by the arms, he backs me up into my room and pushes me down on the bed, pinning me there. Get off! I growl, fighting his arms, but he's quick to keep hold. He rears up a little, and I barely have a moment for realization to dawn before I turn away and squeeze my eyes shut, his spit landing in my hair. Tears immediately spring to my eyes, and my chest swells with a cry. He grabs something off my nightstand, and when he drags it across my forehead, I realize it's my marker. He quickly climbs off me, tosses the Sharpie, and I lie there, too stunned to move for a moment. I don't have to look in the mirror to know what he wrote. He leaves the room, his footfalls heavy on the stairs to the attic, and when I hear his door slam shut, I finally sit up. Tears hang in my eyes, but I'm not crying anymore. I stare off, angry and feeling dirty all of a sudden. But after a moment, the shame turns to more rage, and I almost smile. He's pissed. I'm almost amused. He's had at least 3 women in his room since I've been here, not counting Cece in the barn that day. But I'm the slut who gets spat on. Would I have still been one if I'd let him and Noah share me that night last week? His fucking spit weighs in my hair, and it's all I feel. The anger building in my lungs with every breath is almost enough to drown out the ache. Ours, Jake had said. All ours. But in the quiet of my room, the dull thrum of Caleb's music vibrating overhead, I shake my head. Yours, I murmur. Not his.
No laptops at the table, Jake says at breakfast.
He picks up my computer, and I grab my notebook and pencil off it just in time so it won't tumble to the floor. This assignment is due, I argue. I've been trying to send it for an hour now, but the internet keeps going out.
They'll understand.
He closes the top and sets it on the counter.
Try again later.
I frown, but I toss my notebook and pen on the counter with the computer, giving in. I was on a roll. I've never had trouble being motivated for homework until now. You wouldn't think a remote little place tucked away in secluded little Chapel Peak, Colorado would provide so many distractions, but I constantly want to be doing a million other things. Petting the animals, making treats for the animals, playing with the animals. I glance at Jake as he doles out oatmeal into my bowl. Tucked away somewhere quiet with one animal in particular. He must sense me watching, because he shoots his eyes over, meeting mine as he pours heaping scoops into the boys' bowls. I spot the slight curl of a smile, because he knows exactly what I'm thinking, but he quickly hides it again as he drops the ladle back into the pot. I tuck my grin between my teeth, picking up my spoon. Both boys walk in, Noah shivering as he slips off his coat and sits down at the table, while Caleb heads to the sink, washing his hands. I look out the window. There's no glow of the sun that's usually hitting the deck by now, and I can't smell the barn on their clothes, the hay and the animals, that's usually so pungent. It's too cold. How many inches are we expecting tonight? I ask, knowing without looking at the weather that it's going to snow. Noah lets out a chuckle, as if I just told a joke, and Jake stops dead, cocking his head and throwing him a look. And then it occurs to me. Inches. I roll my eyes and sprinkle some brown sugar on my oatmeal. Idiot. He looks at his father, holding up his hands in defense.
I would have made that joke no matter what.
Caleb pulls out the chair across from me and starts to eat, and I watch him for a moment, almost hoping he meets my eyes. My forehead still stings from all the scrubbing it took to get that Sharpie off. But he doesn't look. Again, I'm not even here. I drop my gaze and stick a spoonful in my mouth. I should tell Jake what happened last night after I left his room, but that wouldn't hurt Caleb. He doesn't care what anyone thinks, and Jake can't control him. The most annoying thing I can do to Caleb is to keep doing exactly what I've been doing. I stick another bite in my mouth and look back down at my copy of Beloved, turning the page.
Have you ever seen snow before?
I hear Noah ask.
Oh, never mind. My mistake. You're totally a Swiss Alps girl.
French, thank you, I say, without looking up from my book. I take a bite, remembering the last time I skied. Another activity I could do alone, so I loved it. Winter and snow don't suck if you're having fun in it. I look up again. Yes, I've seen it, I tell Noah, choking aside. I haven't played in it much, though, or driven in it or lived in it. But I have seen The Shining, and I do know what happens to people cooped up at a remote location through a long winter in Colorado. It can be quite deadly. He chuckles,
and I look back down at my food, but catch Caleb's eyes and stop for a moment. He watches me, his body still and his hot green eyes hard on me. I clear my throat.
All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Noah jabs me in the ribs, teasing. I squirm away in my seat. Stop it. All play and no work means I got a new toy. He sings songs and slides his chair over to mine, tickling me harder. Noah, stop! I protest, but I giggle anyway as I squirm in his arms. I've never been tickled before coming here, and I don't like it. But I can't stop laughing. I shake my head and kick him under the table, the silverware clanking. I'm dying to hit him, but I'm too busy trying to twist away from his fingers as I tear up through the laughter.
Hands off, I hear Jake chide. Now.
But Noah doesn't listen. He brings his hand up under my neck, and I go to bite it, but he pulls it away. I jab him back, tickling him too, and we push back our chairs, the legs scraping against the tile as I start to fight back. When I was little, my parents' friends had a daughter who invited me to her birthday sleepover. Because of who my parents were and not because we were friends, but I remember seeing the dad wrestling with his toddler on the floor that night. They laughed and played, rolled around, and he let the little boy tickle him back. It was such a weird thing to see, families who played together. I dart out for his glass, ready to threaten him with a little shower, but before I can take it, Caleb shoves his bowl, hitting the pot in the middle of the table. It slams into my cup of milk, making my drink topple over, hit the table, and spill across the top. I can't make it out of the way before it spills over the side and right into my lap. I shove my chair back, my bare thighs and sleep shorts already soaked, as I dart my eyes up to Caleb.
Shit,
Noah mumbles, and I see him get up, hopefully to grab a dish towel as Jake shoots his eyes over to Caleb. I clench my jaw.
Spoke too soon. Not everyone in this family plays together, I guess, and someone certainly isn't in the mood.
I look up, meeting Caleb's eyes. He stares at me across the table, the kitchen now silent, and if there was any doubt about whether or not that was deliberate, there isn't now. The cold milk streams down my thighs and drips to the floor, and Jake stares down at him, breathing hard. Noah tosses a towel into my lap and takes another, quickly wiping up the mess. Caleb and I are still locked in a stare. He's all over me one minute, can't stand me the next, pulls me into his lap so I don't get soda all over my clothes, and then turns around and douses me. Sliding my fingers under my sweater, I hold Caleb's eyes as I pull down my shorts and slip them off my legs. My top hangs just below my ass, and I cock my head, watching his gaze falter as he drops it to my legs for a moment. I'm staying here. He's not making me run or cry. He might not like someone new in the house or a girl in the house, but I didn't ask for this either. I sit there, showing him that he won't make me run and hide anymore, and when he relaxes back into his chair, the tension in his muscles underneath his shirt easing, I think I finally have. But then I watch as he slides his spoon into his bowl of oatmeal and lifts it up, facing me instead of putting it into his mouth.
Caleb, no.
Jake moves for him, but he flings the tip of the utensil, the glob of oatmeal on the end launching across the table. I jerk my face to the side, squeezing my eyes shut just in time for it to land across my jaw, the warm goo splattering across my face.
God damn it!
Jake barks and rises, reaching for Caleb, but I interject, swallowing the ache in my chest.
It's okay.
What the hell is the matter with you?
Jake yells at him, fisting his shirt.
It's okay, I say louder, letting the mess stick to my skin and not making any move to clean it.
But Noah scolds him.
Caleb!
Jake pulls Caleb to his feet.
Stop! I blurt out. It's okay.
Jake darts his eyes over his shoulder to me.
It's not okay.
It's how babies communicate, I explain.
He narrows his eyes, and I look to Caleb, lifting my chin an inch.
Right?
I taunt him.
They throw things, because they can't use their words.
I pick a glob off my face and whip it into my bowl.
Did you want more? Is that what you're trying to tell me, Caleb?
I pinch the fingers of each hand together and bob the tips of my right hand and left hand together.
Like this, I instruct him. More.
Like babies who learn sign language to communicate before they can talk. Except Caleb can talk, and write, and sign. I used to think he just didn't want to communicate, but no, he has no trouble communicating.
Can you do that? I ask him, making my voice light and sugary like I'm talking to a child.
More. He growls, throws his father off, and grabs the table, flipping it over. I gasp, watching the table crash to the floor on its side, everything on top spilling to the tile. Dishes break, the oatmeal in the pot splatters across the refrigerator, and Noah's juice hits Jake's jeans before shattering on the floor. I can't tell what's happening on Jake's or Noah's faces, but I don't move as I try to hide how my heart hammers in my chest. I look up at Caleb and almost smile, despite the fear. He's losing his mind. And he's mean. Did I just win and now he'll stop? Or did I make it worse and now I have to wait for him to strike again? Before anyone moves, he's gone. Spinning around, he walks out of the kitchen, and I hear the door open and slam shut as he leaves the house. Unfortunately, he can't go far, though. Jake starts to follow him, but I call out, "Stop!" It's between Caleb and me. Jake turns, regarding me for a minute.
"What the hell is going on? He's never acted like that."
I kind of feel a pang of pride at hearing that, but I just shrug my shoulders and stand up. My long sweatshirt covering my underwear as I reach for the paper towels to clean myself up. Just playing. Poor Noah got stuck cleaning up the kitchen because Jake went out looking for his son, only to find that Caleb had taken the snowmobile out hunting. Good. I hope he is gone all day. Hell, hunting can take multiple days, and since we just bagged a buck yesterday, we don't need the meat, which means he wants to be gone as much as I want him gone. I don't understand him. I wanted to, but he's like an animal. He eats, he mates, he fights. That's it. He can't be jealous. He didn't seem angry when Noah was on top of me the other night. Noah. I drop my eyes. And Jake. My cheeks warm, and the guilt I've been pushing away creeps in again. I'll never not understand why it happened with Jake, or why it could have happened with Noah. Something about this house, these people, lend credence every day to what I always knew I needed. Not sex, not a guy, just a place, somewhere or someone to feel like home. And yesterday, Jake Vanderberg needed that just as much as me. I guess I feel guilty because others won't understand it. They'll have opinions, but the great thing is they'll probably never find out. Mirai's not here. Strangers with smartphones aren't here. TMZ's not here. We're free. I spend the rest of the morning catching up on schoolwork and finally getting it submitted online when I can catch a signal. And then I bundle up in my coat, boots, gloves, and hat and step outside. A sprinkle of snow falls, little wet flakes hitting my face as I close the door, and I stop, tipping my face up to the cloudy sky. I love this. The air seeps into my pores and caresses my face, making the loose hairs peeking out of my hat float and flit in the breeze. For a moment, everything is quiet, except for the sound of the snowflakes hitting the 12 inches of beautiful, untouched blanket on the deck. Snowfall isn't like rainfall. Rain is passion. It's a scream. It's my hair sticking to my face as I wrap my arms around him. It's spontaneous, and it's loud. Snowfall is like a secret. It's whispers and firelight and searching for his warmth between the sheets at 2 a.m. when the rest of the house is asleep. It's holding him tightly and loving him slowly. I open my eyes, breathing out a puff of steam into the air and watching it dissipate. The cordless screwdriver whirs in the shop, and I take a step, the snow packing under my feet as I head down the stairs.
Noah and Jake work away behind the closed doors, and I walk past the shop, kind of wishing they'd let me go for a hike by myself. But I get it. The wilderness is dangerous enough, and I'm a rookie in the snow. Stepping into the stable, I walk for Shawnee, such a beautiful bay mare with a red-brown body and black legs, eyes, and a mane. Even the tips of her ears are black. She looks like a fox, and I can tell she's plotting her next escape. Hey. I grin and reach into my pocket, pulling out the plastic tube filled with her favorite treat. Tearing it open with my teeth, I push the frozen fruit juice up and out of the wrapping and break it off, feeding it to her with my hand. Her muzzle digs into my palm, grabbing hold of the flavored ice, and I come in closer as her head hangs over the door to her stall. I break off another piece and then another, feeding her the rest. As she chews and chews, I take off my glove and rub my hand up and down her snout and then up to her forehead. You keeping warm? I ask, rubbing her all over the head and nuzzling my own into her. It's amazing how warm she actually is. Jake blankets the older horses at night, but he doesn't want to baby Shawnee. She gets more than enough hay, and he assures me she's acclimated to the frigid winter temps as long as she doesn't get her winter coat wet. And so far, so good. I guess it's all relative. A 40-degree day feels better than a 19-degree day, but a 19-degree day feels a hell of a lot warmer than 10 below, too. I give her a half smile. Reality is fickle, isn't it? I ask. We can get used to almost anything. We all acclimate. We learn. We resolve. We come around. It's not that anything really gets easier or harder. We just get better at rolling with it. I'm not sure these men will be different because of me, but I'll be different because of them. I like that. And I don't. I pull out another juice pop, and Shawnee immediately stomps her hooves and bobs her head. I smile, tearing open the tube. There's so much I love about my days now. I finish feeding and tending to everyone, making sure the three horses have plenty of hay and water, and then I put my glove back on and roam into the barn from the stable. Noah left the buckets I need in here. I check every corner, behind bales of hay, and all the hooks on the walls, but I don't see anything. Stopping, I absently shake my head. How does he lose stuff so easily? But as I start to head out, a loud thud hits my ears and I jump. I thought they were in the shop. Three more pounding sounds hit, and I peer around the stalls, not seeing anything or anyone. What? Forgetting the buckets, I veer left and head down the row of stalls, the sound getting louder the closer I get to the door. Another thud hits, and I blink, slowly reaching out and laying my palm against the door. It doesn't latch, and even though I see movement behind the cracks and I know who it is, I push the door wide anyway, the hinges whining as the room beyond comes into view. A large stove burns in the corner of the dark room, fire spitting from its vents as Caleb stands at a table with his back to me. He raises his axe, coming down hard. Blood spatters. He removes the leg, and then he grabs his hunting knife. A lump rises in my throat, and I can't breathe. Oh, God. I rear back, but I don't escape in time. The sounds as he tears into the hide of whatever animal he bagged, the serrated edge carving through the skin, muscle, and rib cage, hits my ears as blood immediately spills at his feet. I swallow the bile down. He turns, seeing me, and his green eyes hold me frozen as he raises his fingers. Sweat covers his chest and arms, his hair sticking to his temples, and I watch as a small grin curls his lips, and he sticks a finger into his mouth, licking the blood off. He grips the knife in his other hand, lowering his chin and looking at me as if nothing else exists in the world. And there's no way they'd hear me out here beyond the machines they're running in the shop if I screamed. Yeah, no. I grab the door and pull it closed as I scurry back out of the room. His light chuckle carries as I quickly disappear from his sight. Asshole. But then I stop, noticing. He laughed, out loud.
It wasn't much, but I heard his deep voice. He's growled or grunted a few times, but he let me hear him laugh. I narrow my eyes, lost in thought. I wonder if he even realizes. He let me hear him. I shrug, shaking it off, and take a step toward the exit. But then something catches my eye, and I look to my right, noticing a ladder. I'm not in the barn much, especially since this is where Caleb likes to lurk. Glancing at the door again, behind which he still works, I approach the ladder, placing my boot on the bottom rung and gripping the one level with my head. I climb, coming up through a door in the floor, and stand up in a small room, filled with sheet-covered objects. Furniture? I reach out, grab one of the pieces of cloth, and pull. Chapter 20. Tiernan.
What do you want to do with it? Jake asks me.
He and Noah each hold a side as they carry the three-drawer chest into the shop, and I smile at the feather and filigree carvings in the wood. Anything you'll let me, I guess. I shrug, not really knowing yet. It's a great piece of furniture, and there's so much more up there. There were more chests, a couple of dressers, some end tables and a bedside table, a couple of doors and a desk. None of the furniture was in good shape, but as soon as I saw it all, my heart leaped. Everything in our house growing up was so new. I walk over, running my hand over the grainy wooden top of the chest. There's no history in new, no mystery. I like old. Jake stands back, looking at the piece with me. It almost looks like something out of Beauty and the Beast, the Disney version. The wood curves, the chest widening as it goes up, and there's lots of detail around the edges and feet. This was probably a stunning piece in its day.
My ex and I collected a bunch of stuff from yard sales for when we finished building this place, Jake says. But then shit happened, so.
I open the drawers, checking the functionality.
So yeah, it's all yours, he adds. It's one other thing to keep you occupied this winter.
I turn my head over my shoulder, shooting him a look. One other thing. He smirks. Noah nudges my arm.
Let me show you the paints.
I follow him. Hours later, Noah and I work away in the shop, our empty dinner bowls of Jake's chili sitting on the cement floor. The wind howls outside the bay door, but the wood-burning stove crackles in the background, and I don't even need a coat out here. Although I'm wearing two pairs of cozy socks inside my slipper clogs as I putter around in my jeans and Noah's flannel. Pushing up my sleeves, I dig the rag in the turpentine and bring it up, slopping it across the top of the chest and scrubbing off the remnants of the finish.
Doing okay? Noah asks.
I look up, seeing him digging in a coffee can, the nuts and bolts inside jingling. Yeah.
What's the sudden interest in furniture rehab?
I laugh under my breath, sloshing the rag into the can again. Maybe it's an excuse to be where you guys are, I tease. All of us working together. His white teeth peek out as his smile spreads. Or maybe I just don't want to be left alone inside with your brother's wrath, I mumble. I'd had to wash my hair after the oatmeal this morning. Caleb helped with the bike sometimes, but I caught on very early that Jake didn't make the same demands of him that he did with Noah, probably because he couldn't push Caleb around and didn't want to risk pushing him too far. Sometimes Caleb helped here in the shop, and sometimes he took care of the animals, chopped wood, repaired various equipment around the property, hunted, played with the dogs, or shut himself up in his room. He didn't stick to only things he wanted to do, but it usually had to be things where he could be left alone. I knew that much. I continue, my two low pigtails bobbing against my chest as I rub the wood down to its natural color. Maybe it's an excuse to be where you guys are. I might not have been joking about that. College brochures and course catalogs sit on the kitchen table right now, because as soon as I sat down earlier with my laptop to try to go online to fill out applications, I suddenly needed air. Every university takes me away from here.
It's not personal, you know?
Noah says. I look up at him.
Caleb, he clarifies. I drop my eyes, focusing back on my work. I find that hard to believe. Does he spit in most people's hair?
Noah doesn't know everything. Tossing the cloth back in the can, I walk to the basin and wash my hands. Noah crouches down to lie on his back, sliding under the bike again.
Don't you want to know what happened to him?
He asks.
If he wants to tell me.
I actually am interested, but my pride won't allow me to show it. I whip my hands, flinging the excess water before turning off the faucet.
He's like our father.
Noah twists a wrench, looking up at his work.
They don't trust women. Until you, anyway.
Trust me how? And wanna bet it was one woman who ruined it for all of us? How original. And not at all silly.
Noah tosses his tool, and I see the black all over his fingers.
Hand me that wrench with the yellow tape on it, would you?
I head over to his work table and grab the long silver tool with a black handle and yellow tape. Walking over to him, I drop down and slide under the bike with him.
And you? I ask, handing him the wrench. Do you trust me?
He uses the tool, tightening or loosening something, not making eye contact. I'm still not sure what that means, though. Trust me to have their backs, not hurt them, be faithful, never abandon them. He's silent for a few more moments, and the seconds start to stretch as the dread inside me churns.
I heard you last night, he says in almost a whisper.
Heard me. His tight lips purse as he tightens the bolt.
Daddy didn't love you, so you let mine fuck you so he will.
I stare hard at him as he works, and even though his anger rocks me, because this is Noah, and Noah is always my friend, his words don't necessarily hurt. He needs to say something. He goes on.
Maybe you've done without for so long, you're confused that sex means love.
He hands me the wrench, and I take it.
Maybe you'll do anything to make sure he never forgets you exist.
He nearly whispers, even if it means spreading your pretty legs. The jaw of his smooth, tanned face flexes, and he still won't meet my eyes. But even though his sharp words try to cut, I'm not mad. He frowns, and I can tell the wheels are turning in his head.
Or maybe, he says, maybe you're like me, and you'll do anything to feel good.
He finally turns his eyes to look at me.
Even if it means never remembering their last names.
I hold his gaze, both of us lying on our backs, and Jake and Caleb somewhere in the house. The flecks of green in his blue eyes darken, and I'm almost at ease until I see his stare harden on me.
I wanted to be in there with you, he whispers.
The dark space under the bike hides us from the door, and I don't run away because I'm not scared of Noah. And I am scared of him. I like that he talks to me, but sometimes I'm afraid of it, too.
They don't talk to me, either,
he murmurs.
I was going to make love to you, you know?
My gaze falters. He says it like he's never done it before.
I was going to make love to you,
he repeats. And I finally get it. Not screw, not fuck. He was going to make it matter. His chest rises and falls, and even though I know I have a warm bed inside filled with a man who holds me so tight and will never not care for me, I want to see Noah. I want to hear him.
Talk to me, he says.
What do you want me to say? He hesitates, his baseball cap sitting backward on his head, as I watch his lips softly start to move.
Did you like watching me on the couch the other night?
He asks in a low voice. I search his eyes, fear holding me back, but desire keeping me planted.
How far would we have gone if he hadn't come in?
He presses. I breathe in and out, holding his eyes, and all of a sudden we're back on the couch. The space is small, the air is thick. Something is happening. And we don't know what or if we should, but we know we don't want to stop yet. He reaches down, but I don't look to see what he's doing. Instead, I hear his belt buckle jingle and his zipper open. His eyes search mine, probably wondering if I'm going to flee, or waiting for me to flee. But I don't. Not as he reaches inside his jeans, and not as I watch him stroke himself out of the corner of my eye. "How far?" he urges. How far was I going to let him and Caleb go that night? Would I have let them take turns? Or would we have gone to a bed, and would I have let them have me at the same time? We'll never know, but I do know one thing. I wasn't going to stop, I tell him. I turn on my side, tucking my hands under my cheek as I look over at him. I just wanted to let go and have the moment, even if you were using me to feel good, because I wanted to feel good too. He nods slowly. Sucks, doesn't it? A beautiful smile plays across his lips. Craving that fucking escape so badly because someone else left you empty. I move in, placing my hand on his chest as my nose brushes his cheek. Nothing about you is empty, I whisper. I can feel your heart. It beats against my hand, and I close my eyes, feeling his warm body move and thinking about what he would feel like, how he would have felt that night we were interrupted. It wasn't just an escape, Noah. It wasn't. It was a connection. A connection I feel with him probably stronger than anyone here. No one loved him enough. Jake's respect has been too hard to earn, and Caleb doesn't talk to him. Like me, Noah doesn't have a place he belongs. He gets everything I'm feeling. He sees what I see, and he knows what I walk around with. Because even though he's not alone, he's lonely. He didn't have anyone to talk to here. And just like my parents' house wasn't a home, neither is the peak for him. He doesn't feel good here. Until maybe now. He quickens his pace, and I open my eyes, looking down at his hand, moving inside his jeans. My clit throbs despite myself, and the warmth between my legs aches. Noah, I breathe out, begging him. Go slower. I like watching you. I like it slow. He turns his face toward me, our lips brushing each other. Tiernan. I lick my lips. Take your pants down more. He bends his knees up and pushes his jeans and boxers down. He pulls out his cock, thick and hard, and I watch him rub his thumb over the wet tip and continue stroking it. I know he's watching me as I watch him, but I don't care. Someone, maybe me, straddles him, and I see it in my head. He makes love to her from the bottom, pumping his hips up into her. Slowly, I unbutton his shirt with one hand. I spread the shirt open, his naked skin from his neck down to his groin waiting for me. My fingers hum with desire. I want to touch him, but I don't. Slower, I tell him. I don't want him to come yet. Open your shirt. I meet his eyes. He won't see, Noah murmurs. Open your shirt for me. I falter, the pulse in my neck throbbing. I want to. He won't find out, Noah says, tossing a look behind me toward the door to the kitchen. What would happen if he did? At any second, that door could open. Open, Noah growls under his breath. Your fucking shirt, princess. I reach up, holding his eyes as he jerks himself and unbutton his shirt that I wear. Underneath, I sport a tight tank top, and he doesn't even ask. He bares his teeth, yanking it up over my breasts. His lungs empty as he stares at my body, and I lie on my back again, letting him drink me in. My nipples harden, sharpening to points in the chilly air. Noah. He licks the palm of his hand, dragging his tongue over it and dipping back down to jerk himself harder, his eyes never leaving my body. He fists his hard cock, cum dripping from its tip. He inches in to touch me, and I shake my head. No. He stops, his angry eyes zoning in on me. No one says no to me, he whispers. I smile a little. I want my mouth all over your body, he says, staring at my breasts. Let me taste them. I shake my head again, but my skin tingles with the idea. His mouth hungrily sucking on me. God. He makes me feel powerful. With Noah, I'm not embarrassed to demand or refuse. He dangles on my line and not the other way around. Faster. I push my tits up for him. Do it faster. He breathes through his teeth, stroking himself harder and faster, and I watch his mouth open and close as he longs for my breasts. I slip my hand down my jeans and inside my panties. He groans, watching me finger myself. Take him down. I shake my head, swirling my wet clit. He growls again. Take your panties down and show me something wet. Noah, no. I can't. I'll lose control. This is what I love with Noah and what I want to keep. I can love him, but stay level. He pants. I want your panties balled up on my bedroom floor so bad, but I'll fuck you right here if I have to, Tiernan. I eye the couch in the corner of the shop, a moment of surrender almost taking me over. Let me in your bed tonight, he asks. He won't find out. I open my mouth to say something, to refuse, but I can't force the words. I don't want to deny him. I want him to be happy. He won't find out, he whispers again. He'll never know, Tiernan. Drop the pack, just let go. Everything washes over me at once, and I almost say yes. Drop the pack. Like that day in the ocean and everything I was carrying that would drag me down and drown me. Just let go. I almost do. Instead, I dive in, holding his face and kissing his temple as he strokes himself. I'm sorry. And I slide out from under the bike and climb to my feet, running toward the kitchen door as I pull down my tank top and fix the flannel. Tiernan, he groans behind me, sounding disappointed, but I don't stop. Running into the house, I slam the shop door and bolt up the stairs, heading to my bedroom. What the hell is the matter with me? Noah is the only one I'm completely fearless around. Why would I complicate that? I wanted him. I wanted to climb on top of him and love him and hold him and make sure he wasn't alone. I swing my door open and pull off the flannel, kicking off my shoes and socks because I'm sweating. These fucking men. I squeeze my eyes shut, still aching between my thighs. My clothes itch and my heart pounds. Tiernan. I blink, hearing my name. I turn my head, looking out my door, across the hall, and seeing Jake standing in his room wearing a towel. He uses another to dry the back of his hair as steam billows out of the bathroom and into his room. You okay? He asks. I stare at his bare chest and muscular calves, the towel tucked just above his groin, and the pulse in my clit throbs harder. I shake my head. Slowly, I unfasten my jeans and push them down my legs, his eyes on me as I pull my tank top over my head. I see his breathing turn heavy as his eyes fall down my body, and I don't hesitate another moment. I slip my panties down my legs, burying my pussy, and he's off. Dropping the towel in his hand, he stalks across the hall and into my room, slamming my door closed before he grabs me. I have a moment to inhale before he lifts me into his arms, my legs wrapping around his body, and his hand smacks my ass. I whimper, but smile as he pins me up against my wall, fisting my breast as he thrusts inside of me and pumps me hard and fast, his grunts and growls hot on my neck. I moan, everything hot and alive under my skin. I've loved in Jake the same things I've loved not seeing in Noah, but I may have had it wrong. Jake's not in control either.
Chapter 21. Tiernan.
I tear off the sheet and crumple it up in my fist, tossing it onto the table. I hate sketching. I've been at this for 2 hours, and every design comes out looking 10 times worse than whatever's in my head. I can't draw. I pick up a freshly sharpened pencil and start again, remembering the lines and curves of the chest out in the shop as Blue Blood by Laurel plays on my phone on the table. Using light strokes, I fill in the feathers and filigree, not really worried about the bones of the design, just the colors. Every scheme I use seems childish, but I want to have an idea of what to do before I use any paint on it. I lay my head down on my arm, picking up the gold pencil and brushing the highest points of the feathers as the snow falls out the window. I like this time of day. The sun just before it rises. The house is quiet, except for my soft music, and everything is asleep. My mug of coffee sits close, steam rising into the air, and I'm awake before anyone else, but rested. Not like at night where I'm crashing into my pillow at 10 p.m. because I'm exhausted. My fingers work, peeking out of my long sweater, but a shadow falls over the paper as someone stops behind me. I pause, but only for a moment. I take a breath and continue, glossing up the trim of the chest as Caleb walks to the coffee pot and pours himself a cup. I knew it was him because Jake and Noah would have said good morning. He stands at the counter, and even though I'm tempted to look up to see if he's watching me, I don't. I switch out pencils, my hand hovering over the choices, before I finally pick up the violet and light blue ones. Keeping my head nestled on my arm, I shade the left tip of the chest, working diagonally before switching to the blue to continue the design. He comes over, standing behind me again. "What, Caleb?" I dig in my brows, my body tense and bracing myself for whatever mean shit he'll do now. But after a moment, I decide to ignore him. I continue shading in some blue. Unfortunately, the same thing happens and I pause. I want the colors to blend, but the change from lavender to blue is too abrupt. I scribble harder, changing directions, trying to make the colors melt into each other. But he's standing behind me and I can't concentrate. I lift my head, struggling to make it work as I switch from shading in lines to shading in circles. Still, though, the transition is too sharp. I reach up to tear the sheet off and throw it away, but his hand comes down on top of mine, stopping me. I'm about to throw him off, but he gently pulls the pencil out of my hand, sets his coffee down, and plants his other hand on the table, leaning over me. I watch as he holds the pencil between his fingers, pinching it all the way down at the tip, and shades in a circular motion along my line, and then uses his thumb to rub the colors together, blending it just how I wanted. He continues, the wind howling outside as a curtain of snow falls beyond the windows, and my shoulders relax a little as he picks up the violet again, bringing streams and drops into the blue, almost like a watercolor. I want to smile. It's exactly what I was seeing in my head. I pick up the green pencil and start on the final section, shading in circles like he does. He follows, blending in his blue with my sea green, and our hands brush as we rub the colors with our fingers. Does he draw a lot? I move my head, wanting to look up at him, but I catch myself in time. I finish the legs and add some fancy handles to the drawers, only faltering for a moment when I see him uncrumple some of my previous drawings. He lays one down on the table, smoothing it out, and hands it to me. I swallow. It's the teal and black design. "I liked that one," I murmur. "But it looks too, I don't know, Beetlejuice?" I thought it was childish. I stare at the amateur sketch and pick up my pencil and ruler, adding more stripes to the drawers. "I used to do so many drawings when I was little," I tell him. "My house with trees and a rainbow. I'd put it on the refrigerator for my parents to see, display it really pretty and nice and high so they'd notice it when they got home? His hand remains planted on the table at my side, and I pick up the black pencil, shading stripes. I was so excited by how dreamy the picture was, I go on. There was so much color, I just wanted to jump into it like it was one of the chalk drawings in Mary Poppins. I laugh a little. Kind of precious and magical. I switch out the pencil, picking up a teal one as a lump forms in my throat. All I can manage is a whisper. Hours later, I'd find them hidden in the trash. I flex my jaw as needles prick my throat. They didn't go with the decor. Tears rise up from my chest. I'd forgotten about that. But now, years later, it hurts more than ever. Couldn't they have kept it up for a day? Was it impossible to say one nice thing? I want to break, to let it go, but he catches me just in time. Suddenly, I feel him, his lips in my hair as he leans over me. I close my eyes and stop breathing as the silent house surrounds us. He holds me, barely touching me, he holds me. Chills spread down my arms as his mouth grazes my hair. He inhales, like he's drawing in my scent, and I pause in my work as he reaches around and cups my face. His nose trails down my temple, his hot breath heavy on my cheek, like he's struggling. Bringing his other hand up, he holds me to him as my whole body warms under the blanket of him. No kissing, no touching anywhere else, just warmth. He's not in control, and neither am I, and even though my nerves fire under my skin and my blood races, my fingers don't fist and my muscles don't tense anymore. I feel safe. And when he wraps his arms around me, holding me tight, I fight to keep the tears away again. Caleb. He just holds me, or holds on to me. Either way, I don't want it to ever be over. I know what he wants, though, so it can't ever start. He can't do this, and I can't let it happen. I pull my face away, out of his hold, and it almost makes me sick, because I don't want to lose his touch, but I guess a slut is good enough. I mumble, when you're desperate enough. Pulling away from him, I pick up my pencil, feeling him stand there, frozen, as I quickly dry my eyes and keep working. I wait for him to explode, to spit on me or handle me like he always does, because he throws tantrums when he doesn't get what he wants. But he just leaves, pushes off the table, turns around, and leaves. I don't see him for the rest of the day. I curl my dry toes inside my socks and warm boots, the cold from the snow starting to seep through as I tip my face back and let it stick to my nose and lashes. I twirl, faking some ballet, and I can see Jake watching me from over by the barn, probably shaking his head as he tosses tennis balls for the dogs to fetch. What? Growing up in Southern California, I don't get to experience much precipitation. It just makes my day, is all. I stop, the world spinning, and I finally lock eyes with him and see him trying not to smile but failing miserably. I don't care if I look like an imbecile. I was miserable 3 months ago, and now I'm not. I jog over to him, the snow crunching under my feet, as Noah and Caleb load up his snowmobile and disappear back inside the shop. I look after Caleb. Is he going with you? I ask Jake. Nope. Doesn't he usually? I was kind of counting on Caleb to join Jake on his four-day foray up to their other cabin. It's where Caleb was when I first got to town, and I've since learned he and Jake like to spend time there whenever they don't have a deadline looming. They use it for extended hunting trips or when they want to be closer to better fishing. It's definitely not a place that can fit all of us, and there's no electricity, Wi-Fi, or plumbing, so I'm out, but I'm told it's beautiful. Especially in the summer. I might not be here to see it, though. Jake simply shrugs at my question, and I gather he doesn't know why Caleb is hanging back either. I can deal with Noah on my own, especially since he's backed off since the night in the shop under the bike a couple weeks ago. and Caleb has barely looked at me once in that time either. I look longingly at the scruff Jake is growing, like a winter coat or something. I guess I can get ahead on some schoolwork while he's away.
"This was a good idea," he says.
I follow his gaze as he heads just inside the barn. We stop at the coop and the monster truck tires Noah helped me cut in half. Three halves are stacked on top of each other, the insides filled with hay and chickens. I grin. Reappropriation of materials, and it's supposed to do a good job of blocking the wind, I inform him. Another of my DIY projects. The animals seem quite content in their winter homes.
"You going to be okay tonight?" he asks.
I almost laugh. But then I remember the last time I was alone with both boys at the same time without him. "Probably not," I tease. "You should take me with you." His gaze turns heated, and I watch as his eyes drop down my body for a moment. I don't want to rough it like that exactly, but it wouldn't be a chore keeping him company.
"I'd spend all my time trying to keep you warm," he mumbles.
"Yeah, probably." Visions flood my brain of us, a bed and a fire. Who needs food? I smirk to myself.
"What?" he asks.
I force my smile away. "Nothing." He looks at me suspiciously, and I smile again despite myself. He rolls his eyes and yanks the strings of my cap down, the top covering my eyes as he walks away.
"I like the hat," he tells me.
I push it back, feigning a scowl, as both of us head out of the barn. Swiping the page on my Kindle, I hear the buzzer on the dryer go off and reach for the basket. I hesitate, quickly skimming the rest of the paragraph before setting the device down. Opening up the dryer, I pull out my clothes. Comparative economic systems and various government types. This class might have been better taken in person. Not that it's particularly difficult to follow, but I have questions, and talking to the Vanderberg men about world issues would be like watching Yoda get a manicure. Jake doesn't vote because, as long as they stay off my peak, we've got no problems. As if tax laws, pollution, or nuclear war will respect his property line. Noah doesn't vote because that seems like work. And I'm pretty sure Caleb just doesn't care. Mirai would be good for some conversation. I'm overdue calling her anyway. I reach in, pulling out the rest of my clothes, and pick up the basket, kicking the dryer door closed before I head upstairs. Once in my room, I dump the clothes on my bed. I pick out my jeans and all the clothes that need to be hung up, laying those in a separate pile, and reach back in, searching for all my underwear and bras. I sift through the clothes, pulling out my blue lacy pair and the black bra, but as I search through the items of clothing, I don't see anything else. I frown. This load is 6 days' worth of clothes. Where did 5 pairs of panties go? I search again, finding my 2 boring sports bras, but still no underwear. They may be stuck in jeans or on some shirts, but as I continue to tear through the pile, I don't see them. What the hell? I stop and think. Jake tore a pair weeks ago in the truck, but that should be all I'm missing. I search my drawers, under my bed, in my bed, and in the bathroom before heading back down to the laundry room and scanning the floor. I check inside the washer and dryer, thinking I may have accidentally left some. But nothing. The only other place would be... Heading back upstairs, I enter Jake's room, hearing him in the shower as he gets ready to head out on his fishing trip, and kneel down, looking underneath the bed, tables, and inside the sheets. I didn't take them off anywhere else but here or my room. Where? And then it hits me. I wince. Ugh, Jesus. Charging over to Noah's room, I find it empty as he and Caleb still work out in the shop and start looking in his bed, in his pillowcase, under his pillow. So nasty. Please tell me he wouldn't do that. And with 5 pairs? Is he 14 years old for crying out loud? But after minutes of searching, I still don't find anything. I slam his pillow down on the bed, losing patience. They didn't just sprout legs. Then I raise my eyes, remembering the only place I have left to look. Caleb. My pulse starts to race. He wouldn't do that, would he? The idea of Caleb wrapping my little red panties around his and then stroking it, I'm warm between my thighs all of a sudden, but I shake my head. It's still a violation, and since his room is the only place left to look, I'll violate him right back. Leaving Noah's room, I shut the door and head toward the narrow, dark stairwell as the shower still runs in the bathroom. I hesitate only a moment before pushing myself up the stairs, my heart hammering at the idea of going somewhere I haven't once seen yet, and at the idea of him catching me. I'd have to be quick. His temper sucks. I twist the doorknob, half expecting it to be locked from the outside, but it gives, and I enter, immediately seeing sunlight streaming in through the far window. Thank God, I don't want to have to turn on a light and have him see it from the outside. Stepping in, I close the door softly behind me and look around the large room, suddenly forgetting why I'm here. I exhale, a smile playing on my lips. A large bed sits between two windows, which must be the gables on the west side of the house, the same side my balcony faces right below him. Built-in bookshelves line the walls, spilling with books that are stuffed and stacked into every available space. Vertically, horizontally, on top of each other. Nothing has a dust jacket, and I know some of them have to be very old. He doesn't read all these, does he? I've never seen him read. A Persian-style rug covers the floor, the visible dark wood scuffed and unpolished, and a small fireplace sits a few feet down the wall from the door I just came through. I walk over, seeing the charred remnants of logs he's burned. I inhale, smelling the burned bark, as well as something else, almost like patchouli or bergamot. A table sits next to the wall with the belts and his supplies for working them, and I find more books on the floor next to his bed. The walls are pretty bare, but they're not the lighter timber used in the rest of the house. This room looks like it's something in the upstairs of an old English pub. I'm surprised I don't see old paintings on the walls. I walk over to the table, picking up a few of the animal bones and searching for more information. This room says so much, and still so little. He likes leather work. He likes to read. I don't see a TV, a computer, or any electronics, though I know he has a speaker up here or something because I hear his music sometimes. It's cozy, though. Dark, warm, and comfortable. A big cushioned chair sitting in the corner of the room with another stack of books sitting next to it. Walking over to his bedside table, I open the drawer, finding only an old copy of The Three Musketeers, a pen, and some condoms. I pick up the book, smelling it. Tingles spread up my spine. It smells like the room. I bet it's nice in here when the fire is lit. Quiet, peaceful, warm. I look down at the bed, my mouth going dry. I whip the sheet and blanket back, running my hands over his bed and searching for my panties. I'm guessing this is where he'd be when he jerked off with them. Finding nothing, I dive down to my hands and knees, crawling around the bed to check the floor. But as I reach the foot of the bed, I see something and stop. Three grooves are dug into the wood, and I reach out my hand, immediately fitting my forefinger, middle finger, and ring finger into the scratches. Something scratched the floor. Or someone. I lick my parched lips, the reality of the distance between the police and me finally dawning. It should have dawned months ago. Rising to my feet, I search his drawers, his other bedside table, and any other little nooks and crannies I can find, but nothing. This is fucking ridiculous. Jake isn't the panty raiding type, and Noah wouldn't steal nearly every pair of sexy underwear I owned because he'd want to see me wearing them. I know it's Caleb. I grab his pillow and dig inside, searching the last place I know of, and then take the other one, sticking my hand inside there, too. I feel something and stop, rubbing it between my fingers. Cloth, silky. I pull it out and look down at the red ribbon in my hand. The red hair ribbon. My red hair ribbon. Heat courses under my skin as heat pools in my belly. The corner of my mouth turns up in a sly smile. Well, it's not my panties, but it's mine. Tossing his pillow back down, I tie the ribbon into my hair into a sweet little bow. It's not much, but piece by piece, Caleb is coming into view. He might hate me, but he thinks about me.
It's so quiet.
Noah sits to my right, in his father's seat, and I glance up, barely meeting his eyes before I look back down at my textbook. I take another bite of my biscuit, not replying. Jake left hours ago. I wish he'd left earlier because it started snowing again, and now it's dark. I hate the thought of him out there alone. Why didn't Caleb go with him, or all of us? I could have sucked it up. We don't need fish that badly. I turn the page, chewing my food as a shingle on the roof bangs in the wind and the ice maker drops new cubes in the freezer. The ribbon tickles my temple, and I fight not to smile as I feel Caleb's eyes boring into me from across the table.
I never realized my father was the life of the party at dinner, Noah adds, trying to get us to talk.
But I'm enjoying Caleb's attention a little too much to make conversation right now. Noah reaches over and touches my ribbon.
This is cute.
I give him a smile, but then flash my gaze to Caleb, seeing his jaw flex.
So you want to watch a movie tonight? Noah asks.
A movie?
There's a sequel where the same cops pick her up for smoking weed and take her back to the station house, he tells me, waggling his eyebrows. All night long. Lots of prisoners.
I chuckle. Sounds hot. I close my text and drop the rest of my biscuit to my plate, brushing off my hands. But I have about 15 critical responses to finish. I rise, picking up my plate and glass. I'll make sure to avoid the living room, though, I say, setting my dishes on the counter and turning around to grab my book and highlighter. But as I move around the table to go to my room, Noah slides his chair in front of me, blocking my way. I stop, straightening. His eyes glide down my body, like the oversized sweater and sleep shorts are just what he likes. But really, he's just been without a woman for longer than he wants, and anything looks good at this point. His gaze trails back up, meeting mine again. Come here, he says. Get out of my way. His lips turn tight, his usual Noah humor gone. I said, come here. I glance at Caleb, who looks between his brother and me, tense but not ready to defend me yet. He's not gonna help you, Noah tells me as if reading my thoughts. And then he reaches out, grabs my sweater, and pulls me into him, my book falling onto the floor as he pulls my knees around him. I straddle his lap, growling as he wraps an arm around my waist and locks one fist at the back of my scalp. I plant my hands on his chest, trying to push myself away, but he holds my hair tight. Noah, stop it, you're drunk. The four empty beer bottles on the table clink as I struggle, kicking the leg of the table.
No, I'm bored. He inches up toward my mouth. I want to make love to you, Tiernan. I want to fuck my father's little whore.
I rear my hand back and slap him as hard as I can across the cheek. His face whips to the side and he sucks in a breath, but he laughs, almost moaning with pleasure.
You wanted to, he continues, looking up at me as he presses his groin into mine. Ride me like this, right here on this chair. Tell him I made you do it.
His hot breath on my mouth makes my skin tingle.
Tell him I made you do what you're supposed to do for all the men in the house. Right here on the kitchen table every morning after you serve us our fucking breakfast.
I fist his t-shirt, the ridge of his cock and his jeans rubbing me through my thin shorts, and I breathe hard, still trying to push against his hold. He releases my hair and plants his forehead to mine, whispering to me, I want you. His breathing turns shallow, like he's in pain. I want you. The longing in his voice seeps through, and even though my thighs are warm, and there's a longing for something more that I can't explain, or don't want to, I push him away. Until the road's clear, I grit out.
As soon as they both have access to the women in town, I won't be so needed. I slap his chest and push him away, stumbling back to my feet. I back away from him, swiping my textbook off the floor. Noah rises, advancing on me, and Caleb stands too.
You needed affection from him,
Noah says, referring to his father.
He abused his authority with you. With me, you can play. With me, you can call the shots.
I narrow my eyes on him, confused. Is that what he thinks is happening between his father and me? A little lost orphan who needs love? He really thinks Jake took advantage. When I was 16, this 19-year-old guy took me from home from a party and wanted to do the same things to me that your father does to me. I say to Noah, I didn't let him because I didn't feel anything around him. They both remain silent as I continue. When Senator DeHaven's son cornered me at the governor's ball with a couple of his frat buddies, I go on, promising to treat me right. I didn't want that either, and he got a bloody lip to show for it. When Terrence Holcomb walked into that lake with his beautiful body and just as many cocky words coming out of his mouth as you, I didn't escape into him for a few moments of instant gratification. I may have been a virgin when I came here, but I wasn't stupid. And when you all took me out for my birthday and I was dancing and some of the local guys were watching me, I couldn't care less, because all I could care about was you and Jake and... I throw a look at Caleb. And how you were watching me. Of how I didn't want or need anything from anyone else because I have everything I want in this house. I'm not some twit who latches on to anyone who shows her attention or soaks up affection from anyone who comes along. Jake didn't mark me. I chose. I know how to stop things I don't want, I tell Noah. I know how to say no.
So?
No, I reply. I grab my book off the ground and brush past him, leaving the kitchen.
Chapter 22. Noah. If she would just let me in. I know she wants me. I could see it on the couch that night on her birthday, and I saw it in the shop when we worked under the bike. I was right when I told her I'd make love to her. I wouldn't run out of the room or die for it to be over. I'd love to make her feel good. I stare up at my ceiling, my arm tucked under my head as I chew the shit out of how this night went to hell. I fucked up. I got drunk and blew it. Caleb is asleep and Tiernan has been in bed for hours. I swallow the lump in my throat and close my eyes as my dick swells with heat. I reach down and grab it through my jeans, damn near groaning at the ache. She should be in here. Quietly and sweetly riding me, taking advantage of the fact that he's not here tonight and Caleb won't give us away. I close my eyes, massaging it and feeling it harden by the second. Or I should be in there, kissing her and stirring her body, making it impossible to say no because I'll eat her so good she'll beg for me. And before she can think twice, I'll be inside of her, keeping up with her like a young man can. I squeeze my dick, grunting at the need. Jesus. I need to go rub one out. I'm not going to get to sleep. Rising from the bed, I stand up and fasten my jeans, leaving my shirt on the floor as I head for the door. But as I do, I hear a muffled cry and stop, training my ears. What is that? A cry sounds out from Tiernan's room, and I jerk my eyes to the wall between us, confused. My father's not here. She's not in there with him. Why? There's another grunt, followed by what sounds like a sob. What the hell? I open my door and look left toward her bedroom door, seeing it's closed. I walk for it, but just then Caleb comes pounding down the stairs from his room, also wearing dark jeans and no shirt. His eyes are half closed and his hair is mussed like he just woke up. He doesn't stop or make eye contact with me, simply opens her door as if this is routine. He enters, and I follow, hearing Tiernan scream as he walks quietly around her bed. I wince, seeing her clench her t-shirt, her eyes closed and her face half buried in her pillow as she cries out again. I stop breathing for a moment. She looks like she's in pain. What? Her hair falls in her face, her skin damp with sweat, and her entire body is as tight as a rubber band. I stare at her, realization dawning. She's not awake. What's wrong with her? I ask, hanging back by the door. But Caleb just waves a hand, shooing me away as he lies down next to her and pulls her into his body. I watch as she immediately falls in, burying her head in his neck as the cries subside and her breathing starts to calm. He yawns, pulling her sheet and blanket up over them like this is normal. Does she do this a lot? Nightmares aren't supposed to sound like that, are they? As Caleb settles in, though, she falls completely quiet, nestling into him as her slumber continues, peaceful and quiet. Caleb lies on his side, holding her and fitting her head under his chin as both of them go back to sleep. I stand there, watching them. Does she know she screams like that at night? Does she know he comes in? I've never heard her do that. Of course, she's not always sleeping alone. Maybe Caleb only has to come in when she does. He used to have nightmares when we were little, but he'd wake up. A smell hits my nose and I blink, hearing the dogs barking as I inhale. I turn my head toward the hallway, scrunching up my face, the strong scent almost making my eyes water. I whisper to Caleb, "Do you smell that?" "It smells like a fire, but we didn't leave anything burning." Walking out of the room, I head downstairs and glance at the fireplace, making sure it's out before heading for the front door. But as I walk, I spot a glow coming through the kitchen window. I narrow my eyes, stopping in my tracks. What the? Running through the kitchen, I nearly trip over the dogs rushing at me before I lean over the sink and peer out the window. My stomach rolls. "Oh, fuck," I gasp. "Caleb!" I shout, whipping around and running for the front door. "Fire in the barn!" "The animals. The barn is right next to the stable. Shit!" I pull on the sweatshirt hanging on the back of the closet and slip into my boots, grabbing my gloves out of my coat pocket. "Caleb!" I yell again. "Hurry!" His footfalls hit heavy from above, and I hear him charge down the stairs, but I don't wait. Whipping open the front door, I race outside, almost slipping on my ass as I grab the railing and rush down the steps of the deck. The snow crunches under my boots, some falling inside because we got another 6 inches today, and I didn't have a chance to fasten them. But I don't care. I stop and look up at the barn, barely able to move for a moment. What the hell? Flames engulf the ridge of the roof, and it'll be a miracle if the hose isn't frozen, otherwise we lose everything. How the hell did this start? Caleb grabs my collar, and I suck in a breath, meeting his eyes. He scowls and jerks his chin toward the barn, snapping me out of it. I nod. He runs for the shop, opening the bay doors, and I race for the barn. I run inside, the smoke thick and stifling as I try to catch a breath. Covering my nose and mouth with my arm, I yank out Tiernan's tires, the chickens inside squawking and flapping their wings. Coughing, I dive back inside and grab a rope, slipping a loop around the cow's fucking head and dragging her out. I try to get air, but I can't stop coughing. Everything stings and burns as I struggle to find my way out through the smoke. A whine echoes from above, and I look up just in time to see a piece of the loft floor break away, dangle, and fall. I run, the board hitting the animal as I pull her out into the cold night air. Caleb pulls the fire hose out of the shop, and I work to move everything as far away from the barn as possible.
"What happened?"
Tiernan cries. I look up, seeing her standing in the snow in her boots, but nothing covering her t-shirt and sleep shorts. I turn to Caleb, watching him fuck around with the lever, but nothing's coming out, no water. "Fuck," I growl, fisting my hair.
"Go check if it's frozen,"
Tiernan shouts. I look over to see she's yelling at Caleb and pointing to the water tower. I shake my head. We had a warm day yesterday. It might not be frozen, but there's no way that'll help. What are we going to do? Fill buckets and launch them at the flames from down here? Caleb goes anyway, dropping the hose, and I'm about to follow, but Tiernan rushes past me, and my heart lodges in my damn throat.
"The horses!"
she yells. Debris from the loft falls into the barn, and with all the wood and hay, it's only a matter of time before it reaches the stable. She leaps inside, disappearing.
"Tiernan, no!"
I shout. I run after her, but before I can get inside, she's pulling Rebel out, struggling to get him to move as her hair flies in her face and the wind whips against us. Dumb fucking horses. They can be so smart, but they'll damn well sit there while the building falls down around.